Thank you to our worship team. The musical stylings of Kathy and John and Jason. Appreciate that. 1 Samuel 29 is where we're going to be. 1 Samuel 29. I want to conclude the life of Saul today, and we'll have a business meeting following the service this afternoon, so we'll try to keep this to the point. There's a lot to look at here leading up to the death of Saul, and I want to start in chapter 29 where we look at David. Remember David, he had taken off and he had ran into the land of the Philistines, so he's in enemy territory. And David was there, and now the Philistines were going to attack Israel. And we see in verse number 5, chapter 29, verse number 5, it says, "Is not this David of whom they sang one to another in dances, saying, Saul slew his thousands, and David his ten thousands?" So there's one of the military leaders here in the Philistines is concerned of why David is marching with the Philistines. And he says, "Can we trust this guy? He's David." Like, he's killed Goliath. Did not the people chant his name and give him praise, saying that he killed 10,000s while Saul only killed thousands? And there was concern, of course, there. Now, Achish the king is at this point friends with David. Trust David. He says in verse number 6, "Achish called David and said unto him, Surely as the Lord liveth, thou hast been upright, and thy going out and thy coming in with me, and the host is good in my sight. For I have not found evil in thee since the day of thy coming unto me unto this day. Nevertheless, the Lord's favor thee not. Wherefore now return and go in peace, that thou displease not the lords of the Philistines." So we see there that David was not trusted by the leaders there, which makes sense, honestly. Probably wise. But Achish said, "I've got nothing wrong. I've got nothing against you. You've always been true. You've always been good." All those sorts of things. Look in verse number 9. "Achish answered and said to David, I know that thou art good in my sight as an angel of God. Notwithstanding, the princes of the Philistines have said, he shall not go up with us to the battle." So David was sent away. He is not going to go to battle with the Philistines, which God's in all of this, of course. And so David and his men return back home, verse 11. And then getting into chapter 30, look what they find when they head back home. "And it came to pass when David and his men were come to Ziklag on the third day, that the Amalekites had invaded the south and Ziklag and smitten Ziklag and burned it with fire and had taken the women captive that were therein. They slew not any, either great or small, but carried them away and went on their way." So their home had been invaded, and Ziklag had been burned to the ground. And it's intriguing here because they did not kill anyone, but they took everything. So they took all the people they were taking as slaves, all the possessions they took for their own. Verse number 3, "David and his men came to the city, and behold, it was burned with fire, and their wives and their sons and their daughters were taken captives. Then David and the people that were with him lifted up their voices and wept until they had no power to weep." You see the impact that this news had on them. David and the men get back to Ziklag. Everything is burned. Their families have been taken, which they care about immensely, more so than their possessions, but their possessions were gone too. Either they were burnt or taken. And it says that these men cried until there was no more power to weep anymore. So you can imagine the amount of energy that poured into this mourning here. But then there's more trouble. Verse number 6, "And David was greatly distressed, for the people spake of stoning him, because the soul of all the people was grieved, every man for his sons and his daughters. But David encouraged himself in the Lord his God." The people were so mad about their families being taken that they were blaming David. Well, David's the one that led them into Gath, led them into the land of the Philistines, had them march away from their home, And so they were angry at David, and they were going to stone him. And the Bible says that David encouraged himself in the Lord his God. It's the only place you can find real encouragement. There is plenty of places where you can go to find trouble. There is only one place you can go to find lasting, true encouragement, and that's in God himself. And so David encouraged himself in the Lord his God. This is a reminder, by the way, as well, where it says that he encouraged himself. There was no one else saying, hey, listen, you know God's going to take care of you. God loves you. God's going to lift you up. God's going to bring you out of this. No one was telling David this. They were all telling David, I want you dead. So there was no one there to encourage David. So what did David do? He himself went to the Lord to encourage himself. And it's a reminder, as much as we like someone to encourage us, we always have God. And we can always, our mind, whether it's on the things of God or on the things of this world, will determine how we're feeling. The Bible says, after a list of things, think on these things. Why? Because that's where the encouragement comes from. So David didn't have anyone else saying it's going to be okay. So he goes to God and finds encouragement in God. He goes on there. It says in verse number 7 that he prayed. And David said to Abiathar the priest and Ahimelech's son, I pray thee bring me hither an ephod. And Abiathar brought hither the ephod to David. And David inquired at the Lord, saying, shall I pursue this troop? Shall I overtake them? And he answered him, pursue, for thou shalt surely overtake them, and without fail recover all. Again, God just goes a little further than David here in this prayer. David says, should I pursue them, and will I overtake them? And God says, pursue them, you will overtake them, and, by the way, without fail, without anything missing, you're going to recover everything. You're going to recover all. Now, why did the Amalekites not kill anyone? Because God was going to restore everything back. So that's the way that it works. Verse number 9, we see the men begin to march. It says in verse number 9, so David went, he and the 600 men that were with him, and they came to the brook Besor, where those that were left behind stayed. So there was groups, most people assume it was sickly, old, those kinds of people that couldn't keep up with the Amalekites. They left them behind here at Besor. And so David and his men show up to Asor. Verse number 10, but David pursued, and he and 400 men, for 200 abode behind, which were so faint that they could not go over the brook Besor. So remember, they had been marching, then they had cried their hearts out, literally, and now they get to Besor, and there were 200 men there that just said, we cannot go forward. And so David left them there with the people that were at Besor, and that comes back in very importantly here in a little bit in the story. Let's see here. So now there's an Egyptian that gets found. Verse number 11, they found an Egyptian in the field and brought him to David and gave him bread and he did eat. And they made him to drink water and they gave him a piece of cake of figs and two clusters of raisins. And when he had eaten, his spirit came again to him. For what it's worth, this is another one of those verses where I just say, thank you for the detail, but why did I need it? What's important about the cake of fig? What's important about the cluster of raisins? What's important about the piece of bread? Like, why was that all included in here? I don't know why. If you have an opinion, I'm more than open to listen to it. But either way, at the end of the day, what matters is the Egyptian now had his spirit came back to him, for he had eaten no bread nor drank any water 3 days and three nights. It didn't say that he had not eaten any cake of figs or two clusters of rye. I don't know. Anyways, verse 13. David said unto him, to whom thou belongest thou, and whence art thou? And he said, I am a young man of Egypt, servant unto the Amalekites, and my master left me because 3 days agone I fell sick. We made an invasion upon the south of the Cherethites, and upon the coast which belongeth to Judah, and upon the south of Caleb, we burned Ziklag with fire. And David said unto him, canst thou bring me down to this company? And he said, swear unto me by God that thou wilt neither kill me nor deliver me into the hands of my master, and I will bring thee down to this company. So we see they meet this man along the way. He had been left behind by the Amalekites. And so David used him for information, which is, again, a military smart move for him to do. And, of course, this Egyptian was smart enough to say, if as long as you promise not to kill me or to return me, I will happily show you where this company is. And so verse number 16 says, "And when he had brought him down, behold, they were spread abroad upon all the earth, eating and drinking and dancing because of all the great spoil that they had taken out of the land of the Philistines and out of the land of Judah." So the Egyptian brings them up to these men who had burned down Ziklag, taken all of David and his men's families. And now verse number 17 through 20, we see the fight. It says, "David smote them from the twilight even to the evening of the next day, and there escaped not a man of them, save 400 young men which rode upon camels and fled. And David recovered all that the Amalekites had carried away," just like God said he would, "and David rescued his two wives, and there was nothing lacking to them, neither small nor great, neither sons nor daughters, neither spoil nor anything that they had taken to them. David recovered all," just as God had said. "And David took all the flocks and the herds which they drave before them, before those other cattle, and said, 'This is David's spoil.'" So we see God answers and does exactly what he says he's going to do. But now David has a decision to make, because they come back to Besor, and so the men, the 400 that went, had this thought: "David, we've recovered everything, but there was 200 guys who didn't come with us. What are they going to get?" Look in verse 21. "David came to the 200 men, which were so faint that they could not follow David, whom they had made," "also to abide at the brook Besor. And they went forth to meet David and to meet the people that were with him. And when David came near to the people, he saluted them. Then answered all the wicked men and the men of Belial, of those that went with David." That's an interesting description, is it not, of the 400 that went and fought? All the wicked men and the men of Belial that went with David, and said, "Because they went not with us, we will not give them aught of the spoil that we have recovered, save to every man his wife and his children, and that they may lead them away and depart." He said, these guys didn't come. This is what the men were saying. These guys didn't come, so they don't get anything. They get their wives and their kids back, but that's it. They can leave. We don't need them. Those lazy bums. Those weaklings. Well, David had a decision to make. How is he going to handle this situation? And I think David acts very kingly in this. Verse 23 and 24. "Then said David, 'Ye shall not do so, my brethren, with that which the Lord hath given us, who hath preserved us and delivered the company that came against us into our hand. For who will hearken unto you in this matter? But as the part, as is his part is that goeth down to the battle, so shall his part be that tarried by the stuff. They shall part alike.'" So he's saying, we're going to split everything the way it's supposed to be split. What's theirs is theirs. What's yours is yours. The spoil that we received will split evenly among everyone. That's the way it's going to work. But listen, not only did David make this decision for now, he set a new precedent. Look in verse 25. "And it was so from that day forward that he made it a statute and an ordinance for Israel unto this day. And when David came to Ziklag, he sent the spoil unto the elders of Judah, even to his friends, saying, 'Behold, a present for you of the spoil of the enemies of the Lord, to them which were in Bethel, and to them which were in the south of Ramoth, and to them that were in Jeter, and to them which were in Aroer, and to them which were in Siphmoth, and to them which were in Eshtemoah, and to them which were in Rachel, and to them which were in the cities of Jeremielites, and to them which were in the cities of the Kenites, and to them which were in Hormah, and to them which were in Chorashan, and to them which were in Athach, and to them which were in Hebron, and to all the places where David himself and his men were wont to hunt." First of all, couldn't he just use in north, south, east, west? I don't know why we got to put all these words in here, but it's a reminder here that David is setting a precedent. He says, from this day forward, when we take the spoils of our enemies, we're going to spread the wealth. Thanks, Bernie. Not quite that way. We're going to spread the wealth, and we're going to just send presents to all the different places and say, this is from the reward that we've gotten, that we're the enemies of the Lord, and we're going to share it with those around us as well, which is an interesting precedent to set, I think. Saul comes in, back to the story, though, in chapter 31. And the Philistines going after Saul, and Saul and Jonathan as well. Look in verse number 11. Verse number 5, and when his armor bearer saw that Saul was dead, he fell likewise upon his sword and died with him. So Saul died and his three sons and his armor bearer and all his men that same day together. Saul and Jonathan, all his sons, they were killed in this battle. This is clearing the way for David, of course, as well. Look in verse number 7. Look in verse number 8. And it came to pass on the morrow, when the Philistines came to strip the slain, they found Saul and his three sons fallen in the mount Gilboa. And they cut off his head and stripped him of his armor and sent into the land of the Philistines round about to publish it in the house of their idols and among the people. And they put his armor in the house of Ashtaroth, and they fastened his body to the wall in Bethshan. They were celebrating this victory. The king is dead. They're the ones that killed them. And they grotesquely promoted this around. But look in verse number 11. We see the Israelites. And when the inhabitants of Jabesh-Gilead heard of that which the Philistines had done to Saul, all the valiant men arose and went all night and took the body of Saul and the bodies of his sons from the wall of Bethshan and came to Jabesh and burnt them there. And they took their bones and buried them under a tree at Jabesh and fasted 7 days. One of the things that we learn from David throughout the life of Saul is that there is honor to be given to the position that Saul had. And there were people who were disgusted by the acts of the Philistines and said, "You will not treat our king that way." And they went and recovered the bodies and properly disposed of them and show respect and honor to a position that was given to Saul by God. And it goes on to remind me that there is honor that is due to those in authority where God has the control, which God has the control of everything. We have to be careful with how we respond to our authority. And we have to give proper honor. That doesn't mean that we cannot disagree. And it does not mean that we cannot stand against unbiblical things and ungodly things. But we must give honor and understand that there is a time and a place. And let's be wise with that. We transition into 2 Samuel next week. Well, probably not next week. We'll probably focus a little bit more on Easter next week in the afternoon service. But we'll turn into that soon. We get into David and his becoming king. And then, of course, all the perfect days that David has after he becomes king. We'll look at some of the issues that arise and continue to learn from the life of David as well. Lord, help us to be what you want us to be. Lord, help us to continue to see your presence and your movement and your direction. And Lord, that we would be wise in the things that you put into our lives. And Lord, just help us to, again, please you. Help us to give honor where honor is due. Help us to be an example to those around us, Lord, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen.